Lord, we give you first place today. Lord, you have first place in our lives. Lord, we surrender to you, Lord. We open our hearts to you today. Lord, we thank you for this divine appointment with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for being among us today and being here with us. Lord, like we were just singing, Lord, we just ask you to put us anywhere in your glory. Put us anywhere. Lord, we want to be in your presence, and we want to live in your presence, and we want to see your light come to the earth. We want to see your light across the world. And Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, give us a taste of that today. Give us a taste of that this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, worship team. Guys, thank you for leading us into the throne room and leading us into the presence of God. You all are awesome. It's such a privilege to get to talk to you all today and get to be here and share with you. I'm so grateful to Pastor Dawn for giving me an opportunity to sub in for her while she's away and get to talk as family together today. It's great to be in God's house today, isn't it? It's amen. It's great to be able to celebrate what God is doing together and celebrate what's happening in each of our lives and Lord what the Lord is doing around the world, sometimes quietly, sometimes outwardly, but man, we get to be part of it today. We get to celebrate God here in South Florida today. I love it. I love what God is doing. Family, while I talk with you today, while we talk together, I want you to think about one question as we go through what we're talking about. And as I go through, you know, what God's put on my heart to share with all of you today, I want you to think about what is greatness? What is greatness? What is it? What is greatness in humanity? What's greatness in God's creation? We know God is great. God is great. He is the picture of greatness. What does his greatness look like in men and women? Think about that as we go through what I'm going to talk about today. And as we go through the different stories, I want to bring up some stories to you today that you've probably heard before, but I'm hoping today that you'll see them in a new light and that you'll see some of these stories from the Bible in a new way that shines some light on what God is doing right now, what God is doing across the world, what I believe he's doing right here in Broward County. It's exciting. And I think if we look at these stories in a new way, it's going to give all of us a lot of hope, a lot of strength, a lot of peace, and a lot of understanding about what God is doing and how he's doing it right now. So think about that. What is greatness as we talk about that? There are two sisters in the Bible that I want to bring up to you today. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, two sisters. I want to talk to you about those two sisters. One of them became world famous for something she did. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. One of them, maybe not so world famous, but had a friendship and a relationship with Jesus. These two sisters were wildly different. And they kind of highlight how each of our relationships with God are different. We serve a personal God, amen? We serve a God who knows our hearts. He knows us heart and soul. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. He knows what we're going to do. He is intimately acquainted with us and involved in our lives. And he was for these two sisters too. But they were wildly different. They were polar opposites in the way that they approached their friendship with Jesus. Martha was the ever practical, always counting the beans follower of Jesus. You know, she was thinking about the logistics. You know, she was thinking about, well, if I have Jesus and his disciples over tonight, how many plates do I need? You know, how many places at the table do we need to have? You know, how many do I need a basin at the door to wash the feet so they can wash their feet as they come in, because you know that was the custom in the day. She was thinking about the nuts and bolts and the mechanics and the hey, how does this work? How does my serving God work in a practical way? She was thinking about the details. And then you have Mary. She's the always dramatic, the always artistic, always, you know, making a splash. She's thinking about, how do I show Jesus that I love him? How do I make my love so apparent that everybody sees it? How do I show this? You know, that was these two sisters. They're opposites. They're maybe not completely opposites, but they're different. And they approach their friendship and their relationship with Jesus differently. Now, I think that every Christian can identify with one of these two somewhere. Maybe both at different times. But bringing up their relationship with Jesus, we can see some things. And I want to talk about those things for a few minutes. So we see three stories in particular where Mary and Martha's relationship with the Lord comes out. The first one is in Luke 10:38. It's where the disciples and Jesus have been invited over, and Martha is serving a meal. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his teaching. And Martha is, you know, she's walking around, she's here and there, she's preparing over here, and she's at the sink, and she's at the countertops, and she's over here, and she's like, oh, and make sure that's ready for the meal. And then she gets worked up, right? She gets worked up. She goes to Jesus, who's in the middle of teaching and talking and sharing his heart with Mary and some others there. She says, Lord, don't you care that I'm doing this all by myself? Don't you care that my sister's not helping me? She's just sitting here. But make her help me, would you? And Jesus says, what? He says, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the thing that is right, and it won't be taken from her. Now, the Bible doesn't go here next, but I wonder what Martha did next. You know, I wonder, she probably put down all of her stuff. Because Jesus had just said, hey, she's chosen what's right. So hopefully, Martha put down all her stuff and went over and said, you know what, Jesus, you're right. I'm just going to sit right here and listen to you two. And we'll worry about the food later. We'll worry about the things that are not as important when they become important. Right now, it's you. Right now, I got to listen to what you have to say. So we see their relationships different there. Again, in John 11, when their brother dies, their brother Lazarus, he dies. And real quickly, the story, Jesus is away. He gets word that Lazarus is sick. Really bad sick. He waits 2 days wherever he is. And then he comes to Lazarus's town, Bethany, after 2 days. And by then, by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead. And on the way, you know, Jesus is telling his disciples, yeah, Lazarus, he's sleeping. And the disciples are like, oh, Lord, if he's sleeping, that means he's going to get well. That's good. He's going to recover. Not knowing that Jesus already knew that he had passed, right? So when Jesus gets there, he says, this is not unto death. This is so that the glory of God will be revealed in Lazarus. So ever practical Martha. She's funny. She's great. I can find some pieces where I think like Martha did, you know. Martha, as Jesus is saying to open the tomb, and I'm fast forwarding through this story. I encourage you to go back and read it, John 11. It's a powerful story. It's a powerful story that actually brought a lot of people to Christ. But Jesus is building up to this moment where he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, right? And when he says, open the stone, open the doorway, you know, you could just feel the moment is building up. And then Martha steps in and she's like, excuse me, before we do this big moment, I have something to say. There's going to be a stench when the door is opened. So I want you all to know that my brother he's very smelly. He's been dead 4 days. Okay? You know, Martha is still, she's still, even as Jesus is getting ready to do this amazing miracle, she's still in her practical mind, right? I think we as Christians, we can be right there sometimes. We as sons and daughters of God, we have these moments where God is about to work. He's about to do something spectacular, and he can feel it, and the Holy Spirit is ready to do it. But sometimes we step in and we're like, hold on a second. Let's figure out the logistics. And we've got to train ourselves. We've got to teach ourselves to let God in that moment. To let God take care of that. I'm just going to watch. I'm just going to stand here and trust him. I'm just going to stand here and wait for him to call my brother out of the tomb. I don't need to interject. I don't need to interject my logistics. You know, that's Martha. Now, we're kind of beaten up on poor Martha, right? But you know, Martha was a friend of Jesus. She had a relationship with him. He trusted her. Like, she's coming out as the, you know, the one who, you know, seemed to maybe stifle the moment a little bit, a couple of times, right? But she had a relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus came into the town, she was the one who went up to go see him. She was the one who got up to go and say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here." Now, Mary in this story, she's dramatic, right? She's artistic. She needed a special invitation. The Bible records it. When Jesus came to the town, Mary didn't get up. She stayed mourning. She stayed where she was. And she didn't get up until Jesus said, "Hey, somebody go get Mary. She needs to be out here. I'm about to raise her brother to life. Somebody go get her so she doesn't miss this." We can kind of see something from Mary here in our walk with Christ too, right? Sometimes we need a special invitation to go and be where God wants us to be. So here's another place where we can train ourselves to say, maybe I shouldn't require that special invitation. Maybe I should just go and be. Maybe I should just go and be where God wants me. Maybe I should just be in Jesus' presence. Maybe I should just be there where I know he wants me to be before I ask for that special invitation. We learned something from the two sisters here. So, the last part that I, or the third place in the Bible where they're talked about again, and there's a remarkable difference in how they relate to Jesus is in John 12, the next chapter, where it talks about how Martha served a meal. And this is almost in celebrating that their brother is alive again. You know, how did Martha celebrate Jesus? She served a meal. She served a meal. She provided. She served a meal. She gave of herself to celebrate Jesus and what he had done. How did Mary celebrate Jesus? Well, she took the most expensive bottle of perfume and she broke it over his feet and she washed his feet with her hair. We need to celebrate God in our personal relationship with him. And all of these stories that I just brought up to you are to say that. Celebrate God in your personal way, in your personal relationship. Was it right or wrong to serve a meal to celebrate Jesus? No, it was Martha. Martha was celebrating Jesus in her way. She was celebrating Jesus with her gift. Was it right or wrong for Mary to break a bottle of expensive, costly perfume? No, it was Mary. She was celebrating Jesus with her gift. Celebrate God with your gift. Celebrate God with what you have. Celebrate God in your way. Celebrate God to your friends. Celebrate God to the people who see you in your life. God is personal. And you know what? Comparison can be really damaging. Comparison and envy and thinking, hey, I wish I was like someone else. Or I wish that person were more like someone else. Or I wish my situation was different. Or I wish their situation, all of that comparing and being envious, that can really hurt our own gift to serve God with. Comparison and envy are relationship killers. And you notice that Jesus, sometimes we got to pay attention to what Jesus did not do, right? Like Jesus, when he received the gift from Martha and he received the gift from Mary, what did he not do? Jesus didn't say, Martha, couldn't you go get some perfume and pour it over my feet? I mean, that gift is way better. You know, that gift that Mary is about to give is way better than your gift of serving me and serving my disciples, right? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. He realized that he was being personal with each one. And he didn't, you know, when Mary broke the perfume over his feet and she knelt down to wipe his feet with her hair, he didn't say, whoa, Mary, could you get up and make a meal first, you know? Could you do what your sister's doing? You know, could you maybe help your sister serve? Jesus didn't do that, right? We're taking that to the extreme, but that's how Jesus relates to us. He wants us to celebrate him in our own gift. Celebrate him personally. Celebrate our personal relationship with him. If you could all turn with me to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. I want to highlight a story to you here. This is the story of the workers in the vineyard, and let me apologize ahead. I'm gonna read a little bit here, but I want us to read it together and really see this for what's happening. In Matthew 20, verse 1, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." This is Jesus talking. He says, "Once there was a man who went out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them the regular wage, a silver coin a day, and sent them to work in his vineyard. He went out again to the marketplace at 9 o'clock and saw some men standing there doing nothing. So he told them, 'You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you a fair wage.' So they went. Then at 12 o'clock, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing." So the master is bringing people in at different times of the day to work in the vineyard, right? That's the story. At different times, the people who started earliest in the morning are there, and then there's another group who comes in, and another group after that. So it was nearly 5 o'clock in verse 6. It was nearly 5 o'clock when he went to the marketplace and saw some other men still standing there. "Why are you wasting the whole day here doing nothing?" he asked them. "No one hired us," they answered. "Well, then you go and work in the vineyard," he told them. When evening came, the owner told his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with those who were hired last and ending with those who were hired first." Let's pause there for a minute. So the groups that come in and work in the vineyard that Jesus is telling this story about, they're coming in at different times. And Jesus says that the owner says, pay the ones who came in last first. Meaning, you know, when you get your pay, you go home. But he almost wanted to see the ones who came in at the beginning of the day seeing the ones at the end of the day getting their wages, right? Or he would have said, well, let's pay the ones who came in first. He wasn't hiding anything, right? He was saying, hey, we're going to pay everybody the same who came to work in the vineyard today. So the men who had begun to work at 5 o'clock, this is verse 9, were paid a silver coin each. So when the men who were the first to be hired came to be paid, they thought they would get more. But they were also given a silver coin each. So they started to grumble, right? They started to complain. They started to say, well, we've been here all day. We've been here. We've been in the vineyard. We've been in the hot sun. We've been working all day. And the master tells them, are you jealous because I'm generous? You know, that passage finishes with the master telling them, are you jealous because I'm generous? So here's the point. In this story, this is a picture of life, right? This is a picture of our lives and our walk with God. It's all about, and these guys missed it. They missed the gift here. They thought the gift was a silver coin.
That's right.
They thought that they were there that day for a silver coin. They didn't realize that the real gift was that they got to be in the vineyard that day. They got to be there. They got to be in the place where the owner was. They got to be in the place where there's peace and love and joy. They got to not be in the dusty marketplace. They got to not be in the dusty marketplace doing nothing all day. They got to be in a place where there's purpose and it matters and your choices make a difference and your choices matter and your love for the Lord and your love for the owner of the vineyard shows in what you do. It's not about the silver coin. These guys missed it. They cashed in their gift for a couple of pennies. You know, they missed the forest for the trees. They missed what was beyond that because they were like, well, he got the same as me, and I've been here all day. Comparison kills relationship. They broke relationship with the owner because of a coin. See, what I'm saying today is celebrate the journey. Celebrate the journey along the way. These guys, they were worried about the coin, but they could have celebrated that they were in the vineyard all day. See, that's the journey. Celebrate along the way. Celebrate what God has given you along the way. Celebrate each time you're taking a cluster of grapes off the tree and you're gathering it for the owner. Celebrate that. Celebrate the time in the vineyard. We see this story. This story gives us a snapshot into a scene that could be our life. Celebrate. Celebrate that time in the place where the owner has called you to be in your life. If you all could jump with me to Luke. Where is it here? Luke 25. Luke 25, and we're gonna read in verse 28 in a moment. This is the story of the prodigal son. This is the story. And I know many of us have heard this story before. You remember the is it 15? Let me look at my note here. Hang on, I may have a typo in my notes. Yeah. So, sorry about that. Luke 15. I put a 2 in there, right where there should be a 1. Anyway, Luke 15 is the story of the prodigal son. And if you remember, the prodigal son, he goes and asks his dad one day for all of his inheritance up front. He's like, "Dad, I don't want to wait. Come on. Can I have it now?" And his dad is like, "Oh, okay, all right, yeah, sure." So he takes his inheritance, he leaves, he goes, he lives a terrible lifestyle, all devoted to selfishness and himself. There's pain and suffering at the end of it. And he finds himself with the hogs during a famine, right? So he's there. He's got a job. His money has run out. His selfish living has run out. He's in the pain and suffering. He's sitting with the hogs. He's thinking about how good their food looks. It's getting so bad. And he's like, "Well, I can't believe I didn't think of this before. Why don't I go back to my father's house?" So he goes. He goes back to his father. And his father sees him a long way off. And he's like, "I've been coming out here every day, and today I see my son. He's coming back." He welcomes him in. He hugs and kisses him. He gives him a big party. In fact, it was a steak dinner. It says they killed the fatted calf for him. That means he had all of his friends over for steak dinner to celebrate this son. Let's talk about the older brother real quick. All right? We know the prodigal. In verse 28, that's Luke 15, 28, we see what the older brother says. The older brother was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and begged him to come in. But he spoke back to his father. He says, "Look, all these years I have worked for you like a slave, and I have never disobeyed your orders. What have you given me? Not even a goat to have a feast with my friends. I didn't even get a goat. My brother got steak dinner. Dad, the least you could have done for me is get me a goat." So you can see, and gosh, I can just see the, and I'm sorry, you youth. I see the disgruntled teenager in this, guys. I see him. Like I've worked with a lot of kids and a lot of youth, and I've seen this over and over again. He's waiting outside. He's like, "Well, I'm not going in there. I am not going in to see my father. He is gonna come to me. He's gonna come to me because I'm upset. And he's gonna come out and he's gonna explain why my brother got a steak dinner and why I didn't get a steak dinner. Why I never even got a goat." That's him. That's the older brother. That's how he's acting right here, right? So the older brother, well, let's read how the father responds to the older brother, because this is wisdom. This is good. So in verse 30, it says, he comments on his brother. He says, "But this other son of yours wasted all your property on prostitutes. And when he came back home, you kill the prize calf for him? Then the father says, my son, you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy because your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found. See, the father gets it. The father gets it, and he is trying to help the older son see. He's trying to help the older son see, hey, all that I have has always been yours. All that I gave him today, you've always had. And it's not that I don't appreciate you. It's just that we have to celebrate that someone who was dead is alive. This is not a slap in the face, son. This is a celebration of redemption. All that I have is yours. So what the father is saying, and what we can look at this in a new light with today, is that he's saying, similar to what the owner in the vineyards, what the story there is, celebrate the journey. Celebrate being in the Father's house. Celebrate that you never left. You got to be there. Celebrate that you're there in the Father's house. Celebrate a life lived with Christ. Celebrate that you're being obedient to the Father. You could have celebrated anytime you wanted. You could have. You can. It's almost like through this story, and in this particular piece of the story, Jesus is saying, celebrate what you have in me. Celebrate. Celebrate what you're living out. Celebrate the truth that you're living out. Celebrate it to your friends. Celebrate it to your coworkers. Celebrate it in the field. Celebrate it when you're working. Celebrate it. Son, you're the older brother. You could have celebrated. Celebrate. The message to us is celebrate. Celebrate it. Celebrate what God is doing in your life. Celebrate on the way to where you're going. Celebrate on the way to where God has you going. Celebrate on the way to the vision. God's given you all visions and dreams. He's given each one of us seeds planted in our hearts that become visions, that become dreams, and he's reviving those again. I believe he's reviving those among us here at Liberty and among the body of Christ in the world. We got to celebrate on the way. We got to celebrate what God is doing on the way. Last week at men's meeting, we had such a powerful time praying together, and Herbert gave such a great teaching. It was impacting and powerful, and we prayed together, and we all felt how overwhelming the evil seems right now. You know, we felt it. We felt how, you know, you look around the world and you see what's happening and you say, boy, there's a lot of evil happening. There's a lot of darkness. But we realized as we were praying together that that's part of it. That's part of the darkness, is that it feels overwhelming when in reality, Jesus is overwhelming to the darkness. In reality, Jesus is far more overwhelming than the darkness seems to us. So I'm saying this because celebrating a life with Christ, celebrating your life with Christ, is how you dispel the darkness. It's how you kick back at it. It's how you push back what the enemy is happening and making happen and what the enemy is trying to intrude with, you celebrate. You celebrate Christ where you are. You celebrate him vocally and publicly and maybe to some annoyingly. But who cares? You know, I'm not so worried about ticking off somebody else as I am ticking off Jesus. I want to celebrate him. If he says celebrate, then I'm going to dance like David danced. We're going to do it. Come on. Farrell's the dancer. Guys, listen. I had so much time on the arts team years ago. I loved it. I felt it. We went to a conference with the arts team. And it was so freeing to me the day that they taught us tribal funk. Oh, man. Oh, see, I'm an awkward dancer, right? But not with tribal funk. With tribal funk, it just works. Because, you know, you can come down here and do the Samoan dance. And you can celebrate Jesus in your own stiff, bony elbow way like I'm doing right now. But you don't care because you're celebrating Jesus. You're celebrating him. That tribal funk was freeing to me. Oh, my goodness. All my dances are based in tribal funk. It's good. That was good, right? You just got to get low, bend the knees a little bit, you know, get the shoulders moving. That's it. Yes. You might be made fun of if you do that, but that's okay. That's all right. I mean, who cares? If you're being obedient to God, if you're celebrating him, that's what you should do. Even if it makes somebody upset, uncomfortable. Even if it makes somebody break relationship with you. Maybe if you celebrate Christ where you are, somebody might not want to be your friend. That's tough. That is tough. But it's up to them, right? You got to celebrate Christ. It's up to them. Celebrate God on the journey. Celebrate him where you are. You know, Winston Churchill made that famous speech. How many years ago? This is a long time ago. But it's a famous speech. It's still studied and listened to and played. He talks about fighting in the beaches, fighting on the fields, fighting in the streets, fighting on the landing strips. We'll never surrender. Well, think about celebrating God that way. We'll celebrate at the beach. We'll celebrate in the fields. We'll celebrate in the street. We'll celebrate. Wherever we are, we'll celebrate. We'll never surrender. We'll keep celebrating the Father. We'll celebrate what God is doing. We'll celebrate when we're sad. We'll celebrate when we're happy. We will celebrate what God is doing. That's what this story is talking about to the older brother. Celebrate. Celebrate where you are. Celebrate what is happening. So, how many of you, if you knew that somebody or something was going to rise up and be a huge success, you know, before they did, and I'm talking like Tom Brady in 2001, you know, if you football fans out there. And even if you're not a football fan, most of us know who Tom Brady is. He's pretty much the undisputed greatest quarterback of all time, right? With how much he's won. But in 2001, he won his first Super Bowl. Nobody knew. Nobody knew what would happen later. Nobody knew that he would go on to beat my Miami Dolphins for 25 years, you know, and make me cry every year. Nobody knew that Tom Brady was going to be that. If you had known, if somebody had known, would they have been different? Would they have treated him differently? Would they have become a fan? Would they have not become a fan? In 1982, Walmart stock was 46 cents a share. If you had bought Walmart stock at 46 cents a share, what would you do? What would you do now? In 2010, Tesla was $4.66 a share. See, I'm just bringing these up because these are things that at the time, you didn't know what would happen. You didn't know what would happen later. But they became wild successes. Well, guess what? We know what is going to happen. We know that Jesus is a wild success. We know that Jesus is the author of life. We know that he's the authority in the universe. We know that though there is evil in the world right now, and though there are attacks from the evil one against us right now, ultimately, they will all come under the power of Jesus. Amen. So no matter what we endure, we know Jesus is going to win. Amen. We know that his power supersedes everything. Everything. Literally everything. He's the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. He's the one. Just thinking on that and comprehending that ought to change something in us as we do. Amen. So I encourage you, celebrate the victory. Ultimately, Jesus wins. He has the victory. Celebrate that before we get there. We're going to get there. Celebrate it. Celebrate that Jesus has already done it. You only lose if you quit. You only lose if you quit. There we go. There's tribal funk and theater in there. There's a little ballet pair away there. Yes, that's good stuff, Pharaoh. That's good stuff. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't stop where you are. Love him. Celebrate him. Move forward. Don't mind. Don't mind sounds bad. Don't pay attention to the tactics of the enemy. Don't pay attention to what he's doing to throw you off your game. He wants you off your game. Don't give him the time of day. Say, I see that, but I'm going there. I see you over here in my peripheral vision, but I'm going there. I don't have anything to say to you except get behind me. That ought to be our approach. That ought to be where we're heading. That ought to be how we see our relationship with Christ. There's nothing else. Only Christ. Ahead. He's ahead. I got to catch up to him. I might have all these other things trying to nip at my heels, trying to pull my shirt tails back, trying to drag me backward, but I'm going ahead. I've got something there. I've got Jesus there leading the way, the light of the world. I can see him. He's up there. He's the light of the world. I'm after that. A hunger and a thirst after that. A celebration of who he is, a celebration as you go forward. Guys, that kind of celebrating the life of Christ and the life that we live with him, that's infectious. You know, people are attracted to that. People see that and they say, man, what? There's something driving him. There's something driving her. There's a drive that I don't see anywhere else. That's because you can't find it anywhere else. It's a life longing for Christ. And running after him. You can't find that anywhere else. You can't find that kind of love anywhere else. It's only there. in Luke 19:40. Jesus answers, and I'll tell you who he answers in a minute. I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will start shouting. This one-liner from Jesus here, it happens on the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where all of the city is singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. He's coming in on a colt and on the donkey. And they're waving palm branches and they're laying their coats down in the street. And they're saying, Hosanna. They're celebrating him in the most public way. And the Pharisees, they say, Jesus, tell your people to be quiet. You tell them to shut it down, all right? I don't like this. There's a little too much going on over here for me. They tell them to shut it down. And Jesus says this. Oh, he says, oh, guys, if they're quiet in this moment, the rocks are going to cry out. I mean, I can only imagine how much strength. We can't even do that justice as we read it. Jesus was saying, guys, this is a moment. This is a moment. The rocks are going to cry out. If they don't, what are you talking about? And you know what? It's happening again. This history is repeating itself for us here now in this age. They're saying, quiet your people down. You people out there, you Christ followers, you Christians, you quiet down. We don't want to hear from you. We've got other things. We've got other things that we're celebrating. We've got this and that and the other thing and this secular thing and this music and Hollywood. And we've got comedians now. We've got, you know, we've got gender identity issues. We've got this. We've got that. We've got this community over here. We got that. We want you to be quiet. And Jesus is saying again, but if they're quiet, the rocks will cry out. I don't want a rock to cry out for me. I don't want a rock to celebrate him more than I am. I want to celebrate him. And I'm going to celebrate him in the face of all the other things being celebrated. I don't care about those things because they're not Jesus. I don't care about these other things. I'm going to celebrate the one worth celebrating. I'm going to celebrate what he's doing on the earth as he's doing it and before that and after that. I'm going to keep celebrating it. I'm going to keep celebrating it even when they're telling me not to. Even when they're telling me that I'm outdated or that I'm old-fashioned or that I'm not with whatever's happening now or that I'm boring or that I'm just scared or that I just need religion because I'm weak. Yeah, he just needs religion because he's weak. That's why he's celebrating. No, it's not. No. I'm going to celebrate him because he is who he is. Amen. The greatest. Amen. We can't be held down. God is opening the door for us to celebrate him. He's opening the door for us to be who he's called us to be. But it only comes by going after him with a fervency that is unmatched. And part of that is celebrating him at every opportunity. Can I pray for you all today? Can I pray for us as a family, as a church? Let's pray together. Lord, you're so good. Lord, following you is so simple. Thank you for, Lord, making it simple, making our following of you just a continuation of yeses. Yes, Lord. We say yes to you. Lord, we pray that you would help each one of us in this room celebrate you in our way. Celebrate you individually. Celebrate relationship with you. Lord, we pray that we'd celebrate you on the journey when we're in the thick of it. Lord, we pray that we'd celebrate you when we get bad news. Lord, we pray that we'd celebrate you when we're being made fun of. Lord, we pray that we'd celebrate your victory, that we'd celebrate your strength. We'd celebrate that you are the light of the world and there is no one else like you. Lord, we open ourselves and we surrender to you. We say yes to what you want to do. And right now, I speak across this room that dreams and visions are being opened again. The life of the Father is revitalizing those dreams and those visions. Those things that we thought were dead, they are being breathed life into in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for leading us here and leading Pastor Don. Lord, helping us to be obedient to you along the way. Lord, that's the cry of our hearts. We want to obey you. We love you, Father. Amen. Well, I love you. But who do we love the most?
Jesus.
And who loves them the most?
Jesus.
And is there another one? Is there? Yeah. Go tell somebody.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.